Good morning from your friends at Zion Lutheran Church in beautiful Silver Hill, Alabama, and welcome to our Sunday morning worship encouragement, God's Loving Kindness in the Morning. Let's begin with Martin Luther's morning prayer. I thank you, my Heavenly Father, through Jesus Christ, your dear Son, that you have kept me through the night from all harm and danger. I pray that you would keep me this day from all sin and evil, that in all my thoughts and words and deeds I may serve and please you. Into your hands I commend my body and soul and all that is mine. Let your holy angels be with me, that the evil one may have no power over me. This I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. The Lord is in his holy temple. His throne is in heaven. The Lord is near to all who are of a humble and a contrite spirit. He hears the requests of the penitent and listens to their prayers. Let us therefore draw near with boldness to his throne of grace and confess our sins. Be gracious to me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according to the greatness of thy compassion, blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. For I know my transgressions, and my sin is ever before me. Against thee, thee only, I have sinned, and done what is evil in thy sight, so that thou art justified when thou dost speak, and blameless when thou dost judge. Behold, I was brought forth in iniquity, and in sin my mother conceived me. Behold, thou dost desire truth in the innermost being, and in the hidden part thou wilt make me know wisdom. Purify me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me to hear joy and gladness. Let the bones which thou hast broken rejoice. Hide thy face from my sins, and blot out all my iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit. Lutherans subscribe to the great confessions of faith of the early church. God has not changed, and our faith remains firm in the teachings of the Bible. That's why we often share what is called the Apostles' Creed in our weekly worship. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated on the right hand of God the Father Almighty, from where he shall come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Well, let's pray together as we ready our hearts for today's Bible reading. Gracious Lord Jesus, thank you for coming to the earth and sharing your good news of salvation for mankind. Open your holy word to us this morning. Along with our Heavenly Father and your Holy Spirit, minister to our hearts and nurture us in your word. Amen. Have you noticed that getting along with people is a real problem for some people? Let's face it, you and I are not the most gracious people we know. The Bible tells us that there is no one without sin, and don't we sometimes just see that sinfulness in our relationship with others? Often the problem is somebody else's, not ours, of course. Jesus Christ himself had a variety of people who were very critical of him. People in the church may have people right in their own fellowship who are very critical. Do we have any guidance in the Bible when it comes to dealing with our trials and tribulations with others? The answer is a definite yes. Let's look at Matthew 18, verses 15 through 20 together. Moreover, if your brother sins against you, go and tell him his fault between you and him alone. If he hears you, you have gained your brother. But if he will not hear, take with you one or two more, that by the mouth of two or three witnesses every word may be established. And if he refuses to hear them, tell it to the church. But if he refuses even to hear the church, let him be to you like a heathen and a tax collector. Assuredly, I say to you, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Again, I say to you that if two or of you agree on earth concerning anything that they ask, it will be done for them by my Father in heaven. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, I am there in the midst of them. The central question in this passage is this: how do you get a person to hear your complaint against you and to correct the problem? The big idea is obvious. You tell him in a way that he must hear you. And there is plenty of room for prayer in the case of continuing injustice. Many times people are not even aware of the trouble they make for us. We know that the heart of man is deceitful and sinful above all else and desperately wicked. But in many cases that deceit comes so naturally that the person involved did not start out to do something sinful. There are people of goodwill, particularly in the church, who will attempt to right a wrong or eliminate trials and tribulations once they are aware of the problem. If our complaint is against such people, the problem is rather easily resolved. But what about others? Perhaps people with a hardened heart, people that are insensitive to the hurt they cause by their sinful actions. You confront them with their behavior, but they push you aside and continue to pursue wrongful actions. Jesus says, but if he will not hear, take with you two more, that by mouth of two or three witnesses every word may be established. The idea is that multiple voices saying the same thing sometimes get through to a hardened heart. They don't always get through, of course. Notice that there has been no turning to authorities at this point. We have been talking about our individual responses to these problems and maybe a few people confronting the problem. What happens when a person still will not heed a legitimate complaint? Listen to Jesus. And if he refuses to hear them, tell it to the church. Do you get the sense that we need to work with people and not work at people? But what if this person will not listen to the demonstrated offense we have against him? What then? Jesus deals with that dilemma. He says, but if he refuses even to hear the church, let him be to you like a heathen and a tax collector. That is, when all your attempts at problem resolution fail, then leave the problem and its perpetrator. Don't get hung up on dealing with a problem that has no resolution. Problems can tie us up and bind us in a way that there can be no fruitfulness in our lives. If we have one of these situations of wrong in our lives and it is obvious that the situation cannot be resolved, then leave the situation and leave the people responsible for the wrong. What about the wrongdoer? Does that person get off the hook because you have given up? Hear this real good. Leaving the problem and moving on in your life is a decision. It is not giving up. In fact, Jesus tells us that when we move on, we should move on with prayer. Jesus says, assuredly, I say to you, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Again, I say to you that if two of you agree on earth concerning anything that they ask, it will be done for them by my Father in heaven. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, I am there in the midst of them. Doesn't this seem kind of puzzling if we are dealing with being wronged by someone? How does prayer connect with a problem that you are leaving? For an understanding of problem resolution in the body of Christ, the Church of Christ, we can go to 1 Corinthians 5, verses 4 and 5. Paul writes concerning sins against one another within the church. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, when you are gathered together, deliver such a one to Satan for the destruction of the flesh, that his spirit may be saved in the day of the Lord Jesus. If a person rejects the knowledge that he has been sinning against other people, then the only choice we have is to let the devil have his way in the life of that person. The sense that we have from St. Paul is that the devil will bring such destruction to that life that the sinner is veritably hit over the head with the extent of his sin. Our prayer for the wrongdoer is to ask God to allow the consequences of a sin to have their effect on the life of the wrongdoer. But what about us? When we are forced to leave wrongs behind and move on, seemingly leaving the wrongdoer with success, we get some insight in the book of Revelation. The Lord Jesus is talking to the church in Philadelphia, and he gives them encouragement in moving on. We find the passage in Revelation 3, verses 7 and 8. And to the angel of the church in Philadelphia write, "These things says he who is holy, he who is true, he who has the key of David, he who opens and no one shuts, and shuts and no one opens, I know your works. See, I have set before you an open door, and no one can shut it, for you have a little strength, have kept my word, and have not denied my name." When we seek to honor God in our activities, even when we have been wronged and we've done everything we can to be righteous and honoring of God, when we have been worn down by legal maneuvering and rejection in a situation, there is hope. Jesus Christ opens and closes doors. We may have little strength left in a situation, but we will have enough because we have kept his word. Can we learn anything here? Yes. Wrongs will come. We may get run over by the proverbial bus, but we can move on, and God will bless the lives of those who seek him, those who seek to honor and bless him. Are you having a tough time now in your personal life? Try Jesus' advice. Let the one that is wronging you know what that person's doing to your life. Get some help from your friends. If you can't get the situation righted, leave it behind. Commit the problem to the Lord for his intervention and move on. Thank the Lord for the learning experience and look for his open door for change. As we end our time together, let us join in the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. Receive the Lord's benediction. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his peace. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Well, please join us for worship this morning at 10 a.m. if you can. Zion Lutheran Church is a liturgical traditional Lutheran church located in Silver Hill on the corner of 4th Avenue and 7th Street. We are one block south of State Highway 104 and two blocks west of Highway 55. If you find the Silver Hill Library landmark, you are just a block away. Look for our signs. Want more information about our Lutheran Fellowship? Come to our website, www.lutheransinsilverhill.com, or give us a call at 945-5209. May God bless you in your spiritual walk this week, and don't forget to catch God's loving kindness in the morning next Sunday, same time and same place on your radio dial. Have you got a Bible? No? Give us a call at 945-1076 for a complimentary paperback New King James Version Bible. Have you had the opportunity to bless a child in India or in Baldwin County? Zion Lutheran Church understands that the Holy Spirit brings people together within the body of Christ to accomplish his will. We have two mission projects that perhaps the Holy Spirit might plant on your heart. The first project relates to the Dalit children in Cherala. We used to call the Dalit people the untouchable. Children are the hope of the Indian church in many ways, but the Dalits are out of the education loop in India. St. Paul's Lutheran Public School in Cherala, Andhra Pradesh, India, can use our help for Dalit education. The second potential project relates to you if you live north of I-10 and south of I-65 in Baldwin County. We at Zion believe that the Lord wants to establish a Lutheran fellowship in this area. If the Lord lays the needs of the Dalit children on your heart, or if you desire to be part of a Lutheran fellowship in North Baldwin, please call us at 945-5209.